I want to see, like, honestly, I would pay Lancey money to like go through and give us stats on that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Beers per 60 expected.
And we could do like ice time, how much like time we spent talking about each beer.
I think expected beer percentage is the, I need Lancey to figure out which one of us has the most expected beers per 60 versus like actual beers per 60. All right, welcome to Brews and Bruins, episode 20 of season 2, your Friday content this week. We are the Brews and Bruins boys, the Hockey Podcast Network boys, presented by Bruins Diehards. I tried to go weird with it, it didn't work.
Bruins Diehard boys.
Sponsored by Save More Spirits.
And no, Save More Boys.
The Draft King boy, the boy kings.
Hey, Cam, we got an ad read?
This episode of the Brews and Bruins podcast is sponsored by Save More Spirits. Check them out for all of your beer, wine, and liquor needs. They have all of the macro brews, as well as a healthy offering of local beers and craft beers from where?
Everywhere.
Where, you ask?
Everywhere.
All everywhere. Over the fucking place. Check out their locations in Somerville, Medford, Cambridge, and Malden.
I don't know if we ever checked with Kenny that we're allowed to have swearing.
Yeah, I don't know, but I have a feeling. Well, here's the thing. You know, I think Kenny knows what this podcast is all about, and this is, you know, this is 21 and over, folks. So
he didn't give us a script. So
yeah. If you want to learn more, you can check out SaveMoreSpirits.com. That's save and more without an E. spirits.com, and of course you can also order online from Minibar and Drizzly. Free delivery if you use the promo code Brews and Bruins on Drizzly. That is promo code Brews and Bruins with an ampersand and no spaces. Get that free delivery from Save More Spirits
on your first order beers.
and tweet us what your order is. I want to see what you guys, we're always telling you what we're drinking, and I want to know what you're drinking. This is a two-way street. This is a cause and effect relationship.
Yeah, also join our beer threads when we're watching, you know, when the Bruins are playing hockey games, we'll generally throw out a drink thread. We want to see what beers you guys are drinking. All you folks drinking beers and watching hockey games.
That's how this podcast started. If you're not on Twitter, follow us on Instagram at Brews and Bruins, and we post a beer there.
If you're not on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. I
would assume you have one or the other. If you don't have either,
if you're not on Instagram, friend us on Facebook, and we'll probably not accept it unless we know who you are.
And then also, you can just leave us a 5-star rating or not 5-star rating on Apple.
We're not picky. Just leave us a rating. A review would be good. I mean, if you have any qualms. Any quibbles, any other problems that start with Q?
If you like to declare any malarkey,
it's called minimal quibbles.
Minimal quibbles, qualms, quibbles, and queries. If you have any of those three things, you can put those in the reviews as well, and we'll check that once every 7-8 months, and and then adjust accordingly.
Oh my God, guys! Guess what?
What?
This episode is also sponsored by DraftKings.
Oh!
Two of the sport's most respected fighters step back into the octagon this weekend to compete for the welterweight title. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick 6 fighters, stay under the cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs this weekend. DraftKings is safe and secure and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
Nice.
I'm getting better at them the shorter they get, man.
Yeah. <That's good. laughs> In all honesty, though, I do use DraftKings. It's the only daily fantasy sports app I use, and everybody should always do what I'm doing. So,
yeah. You know what they say, be like gear.
Yeah. All right, let's do beers. I don't know what you guys are drinking. I decided to chug most of my PBR while Drew was doing that read, and now I'm opening a new one. This it's a special occasion. We're still celebrating our 1 year anniversary. This is just our Friday content for the day.
It's our 1 year month then. It's our anniversary month.
So hey, I'll kick us off. You know, I'm going to be selfish like that because I picked this one out special. This is from Burgeon Brewing Company or Burgeon Beer Company, I guess. I always get it mixed up when there are brewing companies that go with beer company instead of brewing company. But local brewery out here in San Diego, they have the sickest cans. This is the pride black fade jersey of cans right here. Like I love these gradients, man. That just the vibe is so good. This is a Carlsbad Crush Mosaic Pale Ale. One of the things I really like about this brewery is not only do they do different hops, they'll do like a bunch of different beers of the same style of beer with different hops. So you get a really good idea of what each different kind of hop kind of gives you. And then also the other thing they'll do is they'll list on the can, like all of the hops that they used in that beer and the malts that they used as well. So it just gives you like, it just trains your palate better to like know what things taste like. And, you know, they're not all great beers, but they help you out a lot with what's going on. This one has Mosaic and Mosaic Cryo hops and malts. They got Two Row, Pale Wheat and Carafoam. And we're going to give this one a taste. Yeah, it's a pretty good one. Man, yeah, that's just like what you want in a pale ale. You get 5.8% alcohol, so it's like bordering on IPA kind of deal, but it's tastes a little bit like a hazy, like a very New England style. Just kind of like rounded on the edge, like it doesn't have a sharp bite at all. So, man, drinkability. That's high. It's like a 35 drinkability. Taste, yeah, just good citrus notes, but nothing too sharp. We're talking like mango, not like acidic citrus. I guess mango is not citrus. We'll go with mango. I think mango is like the lead flavor there. Very good. We're gonna go 30 taste.
Nice.
Very very good cool. Beer. Crushable beer.
Tim Carl's Thomas had a Patrice Bergeron on the taste.
Carlsbad Crush.
I am drinking a Citizen Cider. For those of you listening to the podcast, obviously love my beer, but I also really like hard cider. This is probably the best hard cider that I've had in the U.S. This is the Dirty Mayor, so it's a ginger-infused cider. If you listened to a couple episodes when I had I'm going to fuck up the name, some kind of Japanese ginger-infused beer. Drew and Chris both made fun of me for how much I talked about ginger because I do love it, especially in drinks. So this is really the perfect cider for me, but really big fan of this. Like I said, really the best cider that I've had outside of Ireland before. So give it a quick sip here. Drinkability, still pretty crisp, not overly sweet either. You get a lot of ciders, I think, nowadays, especially the kind of like national big brand ones that are kind of overly sweetened and such. This is a nice in between. It's not too dry. It's still sweet, but it's not like sugary. So drinkability, pretty high up there for a cider. I'd say a 25. Definitely crush through these, but you know, like any cider, you get past a couple of them and it might start to hurt a little bit. Taste, definitely can taste it. a good punch, and the ginger really does deliver through. I'm going to give it a 35 on the taste scale. And, yeah, just a quality drink all around. I like to mix it up once in a while, especially after having a beer or two that's more on the bitter side. Nice to grab something a little sweeter. So shout out to Citizen Cider.
All right. And last and certainly least, I have – I am Drew Johnson. I have an Omission Lager. I've featured Omission a lot, my favorite gluten-free beer. And I just realized they are from Portland, Oregon and Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Oh, dude, do not call Oregon Oregon. Oh,
what, the Oregon Trail, man.
Yeah, it's going to be Oregon.
Oh, man. I didn't know you were one of those, Drew.
See, I just pronounce – I just pronounce syllables a lot is what I'm told. I really enunciate all syllables, so Oregon.
I mean, you just did it in enunciate. You said enunciate, so.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, see, I do that. It's a writer's thing, man. You wouldn't understand. Actually, you would. You write for BruinsDiehards.com, by the way.
I do. Go check out all my writing that's probably not still available on that website, but I'll write some new stuff.
But yeah, for the hell of it, I'll give this a rating because, like, I've given it so many ratings. I want to know, like, in another year, what the average.
I want to see, like, honestly, I would pay Lancey money to, like, go through and give us stats on that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like, what are shooting percentages for it? If that's even possible.
Beers per 60.
Beers per 60.
Expected.
And we could do, like, ice time, how much, like, time we spent talking about each beer.
I think expected beer percentage is the... I need Lancey to figure out which one of us has the most expected beers per 60 versus, like, actual beers per 60.
And the other thing to note about this beer that I'm just reading now, I decided to do a lot of reading, apparently. It says that the beer is fermented from barley, which is a grain containing gluten, and then after they extract the gluten is what they do. So it's not like they use, like, a potato or a rice thing like a lot of gluten-free beers do. They go in there, they send their little minions in there, right, with big little horseshoe magnetic things,
yeah.
and they take it out. So actually that might not be how that works, but yeah, classic. I think that's actually a cool way to be doing it.
Classic gluten extraction,
instead of just, like, avoiding gluten products, use that gluten product, then take that gluten out somehow. Science. Chris would know more about that.
Just because it's science doesn't mean I know more about it.
it most certainly does. Whether you know more, whether you know science or not, you probably know more science than I.
Okay.
Actually, it's called seance.
Yes, it's a seance, actually. So this is your Friday content, everyone. Cam's back. We had to stall for Cam. He's back. And in that time, I thought of what we could talk about for this. So as we're recording this, there's no Bruins hockey actually happening. By the time you hear this, there will have been some Bruins hockey. So you're not going to hear about that. My guess is they probably won because they're a good team and we like them.
They do the hockey well.
Yeah, they we like them. That's the major.
It's the most important thing is this podcast really likes that team. And I think that positive energy will manifest in wins.
Yeah, positive energy is looming large.
David Pastrnak listened to our last episode where we really pumped his tires. So
I hope so. Yeah.
Had a good game.
it was a mostly a Pastrnak episode. No, but I think we could just, like, ramble on and talk about whatever for 45 minutes or however. But I think it'd be cool to just, like, I don't know, focus the conversation on beer, because we are a beer podcast, beer conversation podcast, especially when there's no hockey going on. So I think it'd be cool to talk about, like, what macro brews you find yourself drinking most often. And this doesn't have to be the sole focus of the podcast, but I mean, like, we could probably do a fucking hour episode on what you like to drink in terms of macro brews. Cause what we do mostly on this podcast is drink craft brews and local beers, but there is a place for macro brews. And I do a fair amount of drinking of them. So I'm interested in your thoughts. I know Drew, you drink mostly Corona.
I think it's especially interesting because, like, I find a lot of people who drink, like, especially up here in Maine where we have so much craft beer, a lot of people are, like, snobby, like, oh, no, I only drink craft beer, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right, well, I like craft beer, but, like, I'm not going to, like, turn down a Miller Lite if you give it to me, you know what I mean? Like, there's a time and a place for both, so I like the idea, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're very much not into drink shaming on this podcast, so there have been some people who came on the podcast and were maybe not embarrassed, but, like, okay, here's what I'm drinking, and, like, I had to feel like they had to defend themselves against an attack. And it's like, yeah, no, we're not snobby. It's just I do like supporting local businesses, and I mean, especially with where we live, like, big craft beer areas. So it's not hard to do that, but also sometimes it's cost effective to just get yourself a big pack of PBRs. I think that's my preferred macro brew, I think, in terms of, not necessarily because it's a hipster beer. I think it's gotten that reputation over the past 5-10 years, but I'm a little dismayed that at a price point, it has become the same price as Budweiser. And I think they're pretty comparable beers. I would probably drink either on an occasion, but yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of, over the years, I've developed a taste for things that taste like beer, and PBR tastes most like beer to me, and that satisfies my need.
Yeah, that's what you need sometimes. The most beery beer, in a way, if you will.
A beerable beer you can beer.
A beerable beer you can beer.
And it won a blue ribbon.
Some, yeah, like, exactly. It won the blue ribbon.
Just like my high school. Like, things my high school and beer have in common.
I think, kind of on that note, it's like sometimes you, like, I love experimenting with craft beers and stuff. Again, I live in such a great area for it that I really feel spoiled just, like, walking into the store and I have, like, essentially what feels like an endless choice of, like, brand new beers that I've never tasted before. That's awesome. But there is something nice about going back to, like, the old reliable, you know what I mean? And even if, especially, you know, you're out, like, golfing or something, if you're doing other things where you're not just like, hey, I'm sitting here watching hockey, appreciating this beer, I feel like I'm drinking and doing something else. Like Beer League, for example, I wouldn't be crushing craft beers at Beer League. It'd be kind of a waste because you're just slogging them down. You're not really thinking about and appreciating the beer. So that's where kind of those macro brews can really come in handy. As far as Chris's question, though, I feel like I don't know if I can answer this with one beer because I'm the type of person that kind of bounces around macro beers. Or macro brews, like, I don't say growing up, I always liked, you know what I mean? But, like, early on, I guess, in my drinking days, like,
since the womb,
like, I'm more of, like, a Miller Lite than a Bud Light kind of guy, and hopefully it doesn't keep us from getting a sponsorship. Well, yeah, I'm just saying, I'm 22, actually.
In the early days.
Wait, you are? No, I mean, so you're a year and a half younger? Okay.
Well, I mean, I turned 23 in April, if anybody wants to ship me some beer for my birthday. But yeah, no,
this man some brews.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I like, Miller Lite, I find myself going to a lot. Budweiser, I like a lot. I do like Heineken. I feel like that's kind of a little bit polarizing. It's really a situational thing. Like, if I'm somewhere warm on the beach, Corona's gonna always be my go to.
As far as like something, and that's like, I'll always give it credit for tasting like something.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are like hit or miss.
I'm sure if I like that taste, but
it tastes like this.
No, I think it tastes kind of skunky, and I'm kind of there on Corona as well.
Corona like smells like weed, which smells skunky sometimes. Okay. Like Corona really like I've been asked before, like, did you just smoke weed? And I'm like, no, I'm just drinking Corona. And it, like, if you smell the bottle after, like, thinking about weed, like, you're like, whoa, actually, that smells so weird.
Chris is like, I have no idea what weed smells like.
Yeah, I've never been to weed. Yeah.
See, Chris, weed is this great drug.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think so Corona and Heineken, I have no problem with the aroma. I think the taste, if you're tasting it can be off-putting, but I'm not picky about it. Like, I will absolutely drink both of those beers, and I agree that they can be satisfying.
Yeah, I do want to say, Chris, you kind of turned me back on the PBR. Not like I ever was off of it necessarily, but, like, you know, you go into the store and you're like, ah, here's the wool and all the choices, I just hadn't grabbed it in a while, but like I did kind of jump back on that wagon. And then yeah, I drank a lot of Budweiser this summer.
It's my roommate Lexi for that, by the way. She's always been a big PBR person, and that was like
I think it's one of the more reliable, like cheaper beers.
Yeah, my college beers were less sophisticated than PBR.
Oh yeah, it was Natty Light for me, so you can't get much less sophisticated than that.
Natty Light and Keystone Light were the two big ones for me. So
same. Interesting.
I'm trying to think geographic gap there. I'm trying to think what I drank in college, because I guess I did drink a lot of Corona, because Corona is like the macro brew that is actually like gluten free. There's not too many out there that are, you know, like a, well, I suppose Corona's international, but, you know, national brands that are gluten free. I don't like Bud Light. I know that.
I'm curious if there are other similar styled beers that are gluten free. Like, do you have like a list of those off the top of your head?
Of like similar to Corona or?
Yeah, not necessarily Mexican beers, but beers that are gluten-free.
I know some gluten-free beers. I mean, Omission is one I drink a lot.
There aren't any other macro brews. I know you just said this, but
gluten, no, none that you would like.
I was thinking more like imports, but like,
no, like, I mean, I just all like, I know is like is really like breweries that they're just designed like we're gonna make a gluten-free beer and they do it because to market towards gluten-free people, but like Corona, it just happens to be because it's tequila based, which is what kind of just like separates it from that. But yeah, Glutenberg's a great gluten-free beer, and then yeah, there's all these like small local breweries too that you'll find, but Omission and Glutenberg are the and Corona are the ones that are more national. But you know, I like last episode I featured an IPA. I usually do that. I can handle, you know, a couple of regular beers in one sitting before my stomach wants to kill me. Yeah, I was never a big fan of like the Budweiser, Bud Light. I did like Heineken early on in my beer drinking days. Yeah, Corona was really just the one I always went to. PBR isn't bad. A lot of them taste the same to me just because I don't have them a lot, you know. It's kind of like whatever's there, or I have my gluten-free beer. I'm trying to think, because in college there were definitely ones that I gravitated to. I really liked Rolling Rock back in college.
So before I turned back to PBR, Rolling Rock was the cheaper beer that I would drink, and mostly as an inside joke, because had a buddy in high school whose older brother would buy us beers, and I've definitely told this on the podcast before, but people who are listening to that episode probably are different people who are listening now, but we would always ask him, like, he would ask us like, oh, what beer do you want for this party or whatever, and my brother will get it, and we would be like, yeah, just get us something cheap, and like he would always get Rolling Rock, and then like we'd ask, hey, get like a really nice beer, and you get Rolling Rock. So after a couple of times, we just started calling Rolling Rock the good stuff. And
were you saying that ironically at the time, or was it just like unexperienced?
Absolutely,
like...
absolutely ironically, yeah.
Okay.
But many years after, in grad school, I kind of just took it upon myself to experimentally go and grab some Rolling Rock again and just see if it held up at all. And it kind of does. It has a unique flavor, and it's not necessarily bad. It's you might enjoy it if you're not if you've never had it, and it is pretty inexpensive relatively. The reason why I stopped drinking is because it started giving me insane headaches, and my mother has informed me that is a common occurrence among Rolling Rock drinkers.
There you really? Go. Hmm. Interesting. I like the can too. Nice color scheme they got there. But
yeah, I mean the green bottle is always great. Like I did mention on the last episode, I'm pretty averse to bottles, but that's one of the few beers I get in bottles.
Mm-hmm. I like you said, I with Rolling Rock and I guess a couple of Heineken, Corona, and kind of similar to what Drew was saying. Like I will give it credit for having a distinct flavor, because there are a lot of the like traditional light beers that do really taste the same. And I don't know, you hand me a Bud Light and a Coors Light, and like on a certain day, maybe a Miller, I might be able to tell a little Coors more, Light, but you can't really tell.
Like absolutely nothing. I can tell the difference between Coors Light and Bud Light, because Bud Light tastes a little more like lighter fluid than Coors Light.
But having like a I guess macro brew that does kind of stand out, and like right when you sip it, you know, like, oh, this is Heineken, or oh, this is Corona, or oh, this is whatever, is worth a couple of points in the book, I think. So yeah,
I have to say I don't endorse underage drinking, but this was a story of my first beer, and you can just imagine what age I was. Totally 21.
21.
It's actually 24. Yeah,
it was actually this year I had my first beer.
Yeah, during this podcast.
This is my first beer right now.
My first probably experience with beer is probably like, oh yeah, like, you know, my dad gave me a sip of his beer, and it's like, that's what beer is. That's how I talked when I was 21. I had Michelob Ultra, and I was like, wow, this is actually really good.
Way to experience beer for the first time.
Yeah, I didn't realize till later that it was just because it was like one of the lightest beers water in beer. The world. It's just like water with like a hint of beer in it. So
my first beer was Keystone Light. So yeah.
Keystone, wow.
I'm like a little ashamed that I don't know what my first beer was. I really don't. I have no idea. Because
you were too drunk to remember. Can't just stop blackout.
No, it's not even that. I've said so many times this podcast, I have a dog shit memory, so it's definitely just that. But like, I feel like that would be like that should be something that I know just based on my personality. But
you should ask some people that you spent time with back during the beginning.
If I don't remember my first beer, how can I expect anyone else to remember my first beer?
Well, was it your? Maybe it was your first beer and that person's first beer, and they'd remember.
Well, if I remembered that instance, I probably would remember the beer, but I don't know when.
What was your first drink ever? You don't need to like say when it was and all that. But
still,
you, like,
I don't know. Beer, I honestly don't know.
First, mine was a shot of Patron.
Ooh, moneymaker over here.
Trial by That's fire.
Space cowboy energy, if I've ever seen it, right there.
Mine was. Mine was walking around a park in the winter. My friend had a bottle, a 7-Up bottle, and it had some 7-Up and some whiskey. It was a mixed whiskey and 7-Up drink, and that was my introduction to alcohol.
And that's tough. I watched a friend of mine, who shall remain nameless, mix a Heineken with a blue Gatorade while we were in Montreal. Oh. And that was one of the most daring exercises I have ever seen.
Heineken with a blue gate. That's
I'm just picturing like a science experiment. It's in like test tubes and everything, and like beakers. And
I think legally he should have been required to wear a hazmat suit while he mixed that. But he wasn't at the time. It was a bold play for sure.
My college buddies and I used to mix Banker's Club vodka with Gatorade, and that was disgusting. We called it Bankerade.
Oh, I'm sure I've mixed worse, but it wasn't. It was intended to be bad. It wasn't.
But Heineken with blue Gatorade is an intro. Like cutting beer with
with anything, literally anything is not. Yeah.
Hey, well, I will.
We had a hell of a time though.
I will cape for Brass Monkey's orange juice.
Brass Monkey.
Yeah,
shouts
shouts to the Beastie Boys. That's awesome. If you never had beer with orange juice, pretty good, like wake up on like Saturday, Sunday morning if you're trying to have like a day drinking day,
or Monday or Tuesday if that's the way you roll.
It's about to be me.
Sorry, actually, yeah, because Monday is your Saturday, right, Cam? Basically, yeah.
But don't for now, don't don't ruin a good beer like that. Definitely a light beer, a PBR or something, but. I think it's a good mix, and I mean, just like a splash.
I'm curious. I've never even heard of that thing. I don't.
It's kind of like a. It's like a beer mimosa. Like mimosa, yeah, a little bit, but like more like okay, you have a pint of beer, and like a 12-ounce beer, and then like 4 ounces of orange juice, and it's man, it tastes good.
Hell yeah!
Is it a drinkable beer you can taste?
Absolutely.
And
we're gonna have to do an AM edition of Brews and Bruins. Yeah.
Well, that'd be kind of down, actually. That'd be kind of cool.
Brews and Bruins, easy like Sunday morning.
I love it.
I can sing that song if anybody wants to hear it.
I think that might be a perfect out, honestly. I don't know how much money in this game.
Perfect way out of this situation. Get me the fuck out of here.
I need to get the fuck out of here.
Cause I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. Yeah.
All right, cool. That's it. Nice. Good job, fellas.